is with great sadness that I welcome you to this Sunday show in the knowledge that I will never again be able to bring you the voice of Neil De Beer. For Neil, this show was a platform of resistance. Resistance against the corrupt. Resistance against the criminal. Resistance against spineless leaders. Resistance against those complicit in the suffering of a nation. And in honor of his spirit of resistance, I rename the show today as the NDB Sunday Show. And please, at 6 p.m. tonight, tune in to the BizNews TV channel to watch a compilation of Neil's most inspirational and funniest moments. With me now is Ronaldo Goos, former parliamentarian, industrial psychologist, and podcaster, would like to pay his own tribute to Neil before we start. Welcome, Ronaldo.
Hi, Chris. And yes, what a sad day for South Africa and what a sad day for this show. And I know that you and Neil were very close. I know that he captivated audiences around the world, you know, expats. And it's just such a loss. And, you know, it's times like these where we always ask, why do the good die young? You know, especially if you look at the context of what we have in South Africa that manages to live until 1890. And then the good is always taken from us at such a young point. But with that being said, I did write something because I wanted to do him justice. So I'll just read it here. To the BizNews family, today we host this show with a heavy heart to honor a true son of South Africa, Neil De Beer, who left us on the 30th of August, 2025. His life was a testament to courage, conviction, and an unyielding love for our nation. Neil was a fearless voice for change, a man who dared to speak truth to power, no matter the cost. As the president and founder of the United Independent Movement, he championed justice, transparency, and economic freedom, inspiring countless South Africans to believe in a better future. His role in forging the multi-party charter showcased his commitment to uniting diverse voices for the common good. Through the Sunday show on BizNews, he captivated us with his sharp insights and unapologetic honesty. Even as he battled illness with extraordinary resilience, his words cut through the noise, holding the powerful accountable and giving hope to the voiceless. As a former intelligence operative of Mkhonto we Sizwe and national security advisor to President Nelson Mandela, Neil's journey from the shadows of apartheid to the forefront of democracy was nothing short of remarkable. His entrepreneurial spirit shone through, leaving a legacy of innovation. But above all, Neil was a beacon of hope, a family man, a friend, and a leader whose laughter and lessons will echo in our hearts forever. Neil De Beer's passing is not just the loss of a man, but of a piece of South Africa's soul. Yet his vision lives on in us, and let us carry forward his fight for justice, unity, and a South Africa that belongs to all. Rest in peace, Neil. Your light will never fade. Thank you.
Thank you, Ronaldo. Now, onto the topics that would undoubtedly have enraged Neil. Shall we start with the police minister who is on special leave, but there's yet been another drama surrounding him?
Yes, so with regards to that, and also let me just say that this hat is in honor of Neil. We are mourning today, and that is why we are doing this. With that being said, so Senzo Mchunu is the gift that just keeps on giving. There's this incident with Anton Taylor, a local comedian, in which he made a satire video or a video that just made some fun of Senzo Mchunu and the state of South Africa. And in essence, in that video, Anton Taylor referenced Senzo Mchunu saying that he gave him his BMW and three prostitutes. Now, I don't know if the minister doesn't understand satire or comedy, but you can clearly see from the way in which Anton Taylor did that video that it was satire. So then Senzo Mchunu decides, well, you know, he feels insulted by this. So then he went to go and open a case and manipulated the Hawks in order to go and raid Anton Taylor's property to get access to his cell phone. Now, if that is not an absolute misuse of power, even go so far as to say an abuse of power and a waste of taxpayers' money that I don't know what is. Because at the moment, what we are looking at is a member of parliament and a minister that whose ego has been bruised, and his way of getting back at this individual is by using an extraordinary amount of force and also abusing his power in order to do that. So now the question that we have to ask is, how is somebody allowed to misuse that power? Why isn't there checks and balances in place? You know, for instance, the judge that signed off on this raid, why did they not ask more questions? When this case was opened, why wasn't Anton Taylor contacted for his side of the story? Ultimately, what we ended up here is just the minister doing as he wishes. Now, this did happen 2 months ago before people think he still has the power today in order to do that. No, he did this before the other allegations came out, which just once again illustrates that there is a lot more to Senzo Mchunu than we thought. So ultimately, the target here is censorship. And I'm sure you are aware that for the longest period of time now, the government has consistently said, oh, you know, we need to make sure that podcasters are held accountable. And this was their moment to try and indicate that them doing this will be to the benefit of South Africans. Well, this blew up in their faces, because ultimately this just also shows the other side of the coin, because we've only been seeing the one side. You know, when podcasters said controversial things and then the public says, but you know, why aren't they regulated? Well, here's the other side of the coin. If you are going to regulate podcasters, and we know what is ultimately going to happen, because that is what always happens with a government that the ANC is a part of, and that is censorship. Censorship, censorship, censorship. We do not want that. In our constitution, we have the freedom of speech. And if that freedom of speech moves over into hate speech, then there are ways for people to take that further. Censoring people is not the answer, because ultimately what we are going to end up with is just the government having people that are your broers and saying exactly what they want to hear. So ultimately, another gross abuse of power, taxpayers paying for that. Because remember, sending the hawks to go and raid a house means that you have to pay for them to go and to that specific area if there weren't hawks there. Flights, hotels, I mean, this could easily have been over 100,000 rand for such an unnecessary raid. So this was all at the cost for taxpayers, because a minister's ego was affected. It's just unacceptable.
Now, Neil and I were always surprised that we didn't get that knock on the door, but maybe it's still coming for you and I now.
Same here. I've padlocked my door in a way that if they want to kick it down, they're going to take some time. So I'm just making it difficult for them.
You know, while we're talking about the minister who is on special leave, undoubtedly getting his salary, I'm just wondering whether he's also getting all those perks, those parliamentary perks that our voters don't even know about. You were in parliament for 3 months. Tell us about the perks.
Okay, so let me just right off the bat say that most parliamentarians didn't actually ask for these perks. These are perks that have gradually happened over the last 31 years. So when I mention this, don't blame every single parliamentarian, of course. But when you see the amount, you have to ask yourself, why have no parliamentarian spoken out about this? My intention in parliament was to eventually raise this, what I'm about to tell you now. But hold on to your chair, because this is going to be an exciting ride. So we all know that a normal member of parliament gets 1.3 million rand a year. Now, if you are a chief whip, if you are a deputy minister or a minister or the leader of a political party, that goes up exponentially. So I believe a minister gets 2.4, 2.5 million a year. So their base salary, you can go and Google what that is, but I'm going to give you a little behind the curtain look, because you know I entered that fray for a little bit, for 3 months. So above that, when you become a member of parliament and you don't live in the Western Cape, or specifically in Cape Town, that you get a once-off fee to you get a once-off payment to establish yourself, and that is 25,000 rand that you get, and that is now to pay for furniture, to go and live in the parliamentary village, or whether it's to move your furniture. In essence, you just get the amount paid into your bank account. So you don't have to give them slips. You don't have to give them anything. You just get 25,000 Rand in your first salary. Then, of course, you get the parliamentary housing for people that don't live in Cape Town. Now, that could be a two-bedroom or a three-bedroom house. And, of course, your family can come and live with you or, you know, your better half. Now, on top of that, you get tools of trade. Now, tools of trade gets renewed every 2 years. So every 2 years, once you have the current tools of trade that you have, you can keep that. You can give it to a family member or you can go and sell it on Takealot or, you know, on Facebook Marketplace. But the value of that is 75,000 Rand. So you get a laptop. You can choose for a high-end HP or an Acer or a MacBook. It's the same with a cell phone. You can choose an iPhone or a Samsung high-end phone. You get a tablet, and, you know, once again, a Microsoft tablet or an Apple tablet. And then, of course, all of them are loaded with data. So you get the on whatever service provider you're on, so whether it's MTN or Vodacom or Cell C, you go to, you get the VIP package. And usually that is 5,000 minutes a month and between 50 to 100 gigabytes a month on your phone. So you don't have to pay for anything of you know, when it comes to data or airtime. Then you get 75 flights as a member of parliament. And that makes sense because you have to fly from one part of the country to the other, whether it's on oversight or not. But what a lot of people don't know is the spouses get flights too. It adds up to roughly 25 flights for a partner. And then 2 flights per year per extra family member, up to 2 family members that taxpayers are paying for. Then, of course, you get PARMED, which is the parliament's medical aid. Now, you can't choose to not use PARMED. And it is a very, how can I put it? It covers a lot more than your normal medical aid. It goes up to 300% above the going rate. So, you know, specialists that usually charge 150% or 200% above the normal rate, don't worry about it. You're covered. You can go and get a beautiful pair of veneers and the taxpayers will pay for that. Now, you pay 6,500 Rand a month for that medical aid. So it is a lot when you start off with. But every year that you are a member of parliament, that amount decreases and the government subsidizes the rest. Ultimately, if you are in parliament for long enough, that fee goes down by more than 50%, and that stays with you for the rest of your life. So if you only a member for one term as a member of parliament, after 5 years, you can get a reduced fee of 50%. And then that is that for the rest of your life, which is obviously also something that taxpayers have to fund. But here's the kicker, and this is something that a lot of people don't know. If you are on PARMED, you move up to the top of the list for organ donations. Yes. So if something happens to you whilst you are a member of parliament, if there is this little Yanni that needs a new heart transplant, Sak Yanni, ons wat nie oor jou nie. You get senso om tu nu kort 'n nuwe hart, and then they just move you to the top of the organ donors list. Yes, and you can go and verify that if you don't believe me, but that is that's quite intense. Then of course the pension fund, and this is something that I found fascinating, and I will be open with how much I received. So I was a member of parliament for 3 months. 3 months. Eventually, when I was kicked out, and a couple of months later, I get an email saying, where can we pay your pension fund over? And I was like, 3 months, what am I going to get? 75,000 Rand is what I received for 3 months as my pension. So I then went and I worked it out. And the way that the pension fund is structured is that you put in roughly about 5,000 Rand and the government doubles that. So you put in 5,000 Rand and the government puts in 10,000 Rand. So they double what you are contributing. So over a 5-year period, you can get between 1.2 to 1.5 million Rand, depending also on how the investment is doing. So one term above the salary, you get an extra 1.2 to 1.5 million Rand saying, thank you for being such a good soldier. I mean, like, are you shocked already, Chris? Are you? All right. And the best is yet to come. You also get R1,500 a month for sundries, you know, for maybe your internet because you have to work from home, or you need to get that new power bank because you're always on your phone in Parliament. So that is also what you get a month. Then meals at Parliament. Jo, die mense eet lekker daar in Parliament. Net by the way, ek weet die mense in die comments sê 'n bietjie, Ronaldo, jy moet meer Afrikaans praat. Wel, ek probeer. En een iemand het gesê, Ronaldo praat Afrikaans met 'n Engelse aksent. En ek moet vir jou sê, nee, ek praat Afrikaans en dis hoe ek het praat. Ek kom van die baie af. But anyway, meals at Parliament is cost price. So you can get a home-cooked meal and that'll cost you about R75. Now, where would you get a home-cooked meal for that price? So they do two meals a day within Parliament where you can go and get food. You know, you can get breakfast and you can get early dinner, if you will. And that is pretty much cost price. And then there's also a bar. Now, I'm not a drinker, so I didn't really go into the bar, but I'm only assuming that a beer is probably very cheap there. A lot of people would like to go there and watch the Springboks play because that'll probably be a very cheap bowl that they'll have to get. And then, of course, the one thing that also shocked me is the food and drinks that you get at committee meetings. Now, I understand when it is the sitting of the plenary that perhaps there are food available because that is long hours. But when you get this, when you sit in a committee meeting, there was always like little wraps available, some cool drinks for you, some hot coffee or some delicious snacks for you in between. And I mean, that must also rack up because if we've got 400 members of parliament, you can just imagine that bowl must be substantial every month. Then you get a subscription to PressReader. I can understand that, but that is also worth a couple of thousand rand. And if you times that by 400, once again, you see how this impacts people. Lastly, and I think this was the most outrageous thing, I want to show you this little card over here. This little white card is a parking card at the airports. Now, this is loaded, preloaded, with R100,000. And you can renew this every single year. So every year, you can go and get or ask them to reload this for R100,000. Now, R100,000 times 400 MPs is R40 million a year just for undercover parking for parliamentarians. Tell me that is not outrageous. It's absolutely insane.
You're okay. I'm a little speechless now, but let me just think what I want to ask you next. The opulent lifestyles of some of the African National Congress leaders, do they realize what personal sanctions would mean? Can you tell them? Because I've been really flippant about it and defiant as if though it's not going to bother them.
So, yes, I think the ANC and even, you know, some people within the EFF and whomever has, you know, sang songs about killing people, they need to realize that they think that sanctions are going to hit the country. But in actual fact, sanctions are going to come for the individuals. And we've heard this multiple times. And at the moment, there's also this one thing going through the United States Congress in order to sanction individual members of parliament. And even outside of parliament, you know, it could be people that negatively spoke about the United States and have also done things that, you know, America and South Africa considers not to be acceptable. So just some of the things that can happen is an asset freeze, meaning that if they have any secret bank accounts overseas that deals with dollars, that assets could be frozen. Then, of course, you've got the transaction bans, meaning that if they use Visa or MasterCard, the Americans can decide you're not going to use our technology. And therefore, if you think about it, most banks in South Africa use Visa and MasterCard. And then, of course, American Express is another one. So they could be limited quite severely by not being able to get a card to use, which means that it's pretty much they're going to be put in a situation where they can't transact in any way, shape or form. Then we've also got travel bans. And this isn't just to the United States. This is any of the partners of the United States, trade partners, that pretty much means the entire UK. You know, it means Australia. It means, of course, the United States. So, and then, of course, people are asking, will this impact them in Dubai? It could be because the United States have got relationships with Dubai. Then there's also secondary sanctions. And this is the one I think that is really going to hit the cadres. And it's secondary sanctions and sectoral sanctions. Now, the big thing here is that if, for instance, let's use an example. Let's say the ANC cadre or the EFF cadre suddenly goes, okay, well, I can't bank. Let me try to get a bank account in Namibia. Now, the secondary sanction means that that bank, if they use Visa or MasterCard or American Express for their card issuing and for the SWIFT payments that are used, if the United States finds out that this bank has given a card to this cadre, then they can put those sanctions on those banks as well, which in essence means that they are blacklisting the individual, but they will blacklist the individuals that or the organizations or institutions that go against the sanctions that they use when it comes to American technology or American software, et cetera, et cetera. So it's going to be a very tough time. And I think that would be the thing, ironically, that would actually put South Africa on the correct path again. Because if you hit these cadres where they feel it the most, which is in their pockets, then that is when we will see a change in South Africa. So that is just some of the things that could happen, but those are very severe. And I think that that would really make a cadre realign their viewpoints and suddenly go from communism to liberalism really quickly.
Well, we wait to see whether Economic Freedom Fighters Commander-in-Chief Julius Malema will be amongst those hit with sanctions. He has suffered a blow with that hate speech verdict.
Yes. So let me just say, it's about time that that bliksem was held responsible, because how many years now have Julius Malema said the most outrageous things about South Africa and South Africans? I mean, we can go back to 2009 when Julius Malema was the youth leader of the ANC singing "Kill the Boer, Kill the Farmer" over the years, saying we're not calling for the slaughtering of white people, at least for now. And then, of course, ultimately what happened and then caused him to be held responsible was the following, and I'll quote it. "Tell that white man to try me. I'll come many times here in the Western Cape appearing in a court case, because no white man is going to beat me up and call myself a revolutionary the following day." But then it's the follow-up sentence that really got him in trouble, which is, "You must never be scared to kill. A revolution demands at some point there must be killing, because the killing is part of a revolutionary act." Now, you know, Chris, I just don't understand why it took this long for the courts to see the light. We have been seeing this hatred and vitriol being spit by Julius Malema at the people of South Africa. White people, Indian people, colored people, and some black individuals. So ultimately, we have got one of the biggest racists in this country that has managed to be in parliament for two full terms, going on for a third term now, and there's just been no consequences. So now, the important thing to note also is that this wasn't just a guilty finding against Julius Malema. This was a guilty finding against the EFF as an organization too. The first time in our democracy, perhaps even as the existence of South Africa, that a political party has been found guilty of hate speech. So now also the question is, well, what is the consequences going to be? Because they found him guilty. Well, we don't know at this point. The South African Human Rights Commission, which, by the way, you know, I've had issues with, but I'll tip my hat to them this time for doing a good job. They have said that they will go for as much as they can get out of this. I believe, you know, there's no criminal sanctions that could be imposed, so he can't go to jail, but he can face up a penalty of up to a 300,000 rand fine. But here's the real thing that I want to see some action on. The Parliamentary Ethics Committee now needs to step in, Because we've seen previously with my case and with Gaitan McKenzie's case, they couldn't act on it because we weren't members of parliament when the things happened that we were accused of. Julius Malema has now been in parliament for over a decade, and he's been saying these things for over a decade. So the question is, wanneer gaan hulle wakker skrik? When are they going to wake up, and when are we going to do something about this? Because you swear an oath. Let me actually do this, Chris. I want to show you something, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry for getting out of the frame. But this is the oath that you make to parliament. Let me just get it in the frame there. There we go. So this is the oath that you make. And let me just read what it says. I, Ronaldo Goos, swear that I will be faithful to the Republic of South Africa and will obey, respect, and uphold the Constitution. Well, he was just found guilty of breaching the Constitution. So his oath is null and void. Therefore, he should not be a member of parliament. And then if you go above that and you go with regards to how a member of parliament should act, well, I think it's quite clear that with the shadow of VBS hanging over his head, as well as all the hateful things that he said, at what point are we going to say this is not a caliber that a member of parliament should be? A member of parliament should be an upstanding citizen of this country that should always put the people of South Africa first. Now, please tell me, whenever has Julius Malema put the people of South Africa first? Never. He's always put himself first. And that is why we are also in the situation we are in right now, where we have to beg and plead for government to do something about somebody that is consistently singing for the killing of people. This is so reminiscent of apartheid. It's actually scary. But yet the media and the ANC, they act like this is not a serious issue. Even our courts have gone so far as to say that kill the boer is not a problem and people should be able to sing it. And then the only thing I have to say to that is this reminds me very much of the court system during apartheid that also found racist acts as acceptable and not a problem. So pointing at this and telling me, oh, well, the Constitutional Court decided something. Well, the courts during apartheid also found things acceptable that should never have been acceptable. So moet jy vir my 'n kak rede is soos dit gee nie, because it doesn't make sense. Thank you. Sorry.
Indeed, Ronaldo. Thank you so much. I just want to remind our viewers to please tune in at about 6 p.m. tonight on the BizNews TV channel to watch that tribute package to Neil de Beer, who passed away yesterday morning. And thank you so much for all the messages of support that I've received from you during Neil's illness and since yesterday morning. That was Ronaldo Goos and me, Chris Steyn, on The Sunday Show. Thank you, Ronaldo.
Thank you very much, Chris.